Are we there? All right. Shalom, Hakol Havarim, Hakol Talmidim, Studente. Welcome to the third Hebrew class. Everybody is doing a great job. I've been getting all the letters. If you have not received a grade back on your letters, please let me know, but I'm working on them. There are quite a bit of homework that came in, and some people sent in 2 and 3, 4 copies, you know, because they were just trying to get it perfect. So if I haven't graded your homework, by the end of this day, it should always be graded, because I'm just working it through it, all 133 emails as I can, okay? So are we set there, Pastor Ben?
We set.
Okay. So, Elohim Tov, Kol Hazman, and we are going to get started with our prayer. I hope you guys have been practicing your prayer, because this is the prayer when the disciples asked Jesus.
Pastor, I'm sorry. Pull your mic up some more, because it's my theory was wrong. Pull it up a little bit more. Up a little, there we go. Now we're straight.
Yes. Okay. So now, I hope you guys have been practicing the Lord's Prayer. You have the English words, and you have what you call the transliterated portion, so that you can know how the words are pronounced. Okay. Abanu is our Father. Okay. So you can start many prayers like that. Abba or Abanu, our Father. Shabba Shabbaim, that which is in heaven. Yitkadesh Shimcha. Okay? So, that's who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yitkadesh. Kadesh is righteous or honored. Well, basically, Yitkadesh means righteous. So, well, righteous be your name, but it's hallowed be thy name. Shimcha. Shem is name, Cha is for a male, so it's Shem Cha. And not saying that God is male or female, but he sure does refer to himself as male. So, because the prayer is Avanu, Shabba Shabbaim, Yikadesh Shem Cha. Let's say the whole prayer and get started on our day. We have a lot to go through here today. Are we ready? And I would say, Antiman Mukanim, and you would say, Amukmanukana, if you're a lady, and Mukhan, if you're a guy. Okay. Atmanukana, Atmanukim, here we go. Avanu, Shabba Shabbaim, Yit Kadesh Shemcha. Tavom Melchutech, Yit Asero Tzanaka. Be Aret Ke Asher, Ne Asa Veshamayim. Tilano Hayom, Lech Mukhenu. וסלח לנו את אשמתנו, כאשר סולחים אנחנו לאשר אשמלנו, ואל תביאנו לידי מסע, כי אם חצילנו מן הרע, כי לך הממלכה והגבורה והתפארת לעולמי לעולמים. אמן. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, אנחנו תלפים, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Okay. Last week we talked about the 888, but we want to talk about our Hebrew words and our homework for this week, because at the end of the class, you know what we're going to ask. So let's look at this wall. Can we look at this real fast, Pastor Ben, when we get a chance here?
Okay.
Okay. Here are the words for today. Now, this is the word I sent to some of you when I said achava, which means love. So I would say Yeshua achava lach. Lach is for a girl. Lacha is for a man. So if I sent it to a guy, I would say Yeshua achava lacha, which means for a guy, okay? So what we're saying here is Yeshua, okay? So one of your words this week is to learn the word love, achava. Okay, love. And you already know the word ani. And one of the listeners, she said, you know, I learned to, and when I'm talking to my friends in Israel, We're talking so fast, I've gotten into the bad habit of saying, Ani rotza lo siya li Tel Aviv, Ani rotza lederberim lechab, yoter muchab, I want to talk to you later. But I always say, Ani. Well, she said, you know what? It's pronounced Ani, it's not pronounced Ani. And it's like English, you get comfortable in saying a word and you're actually slanging it. So the proper way to say, I is Ani. Ani Achava Yeshua. So Ani Achava Yeshua. And that's the name Yeshua. Some people say Yahushua, and that is incorrect. But at the more we learn Hebrew and the more we learn about the vowels and everything, you'll see why Yahushua is not, because actually what you're doing is you're adding a vowel into his name that's not ending, okay? So his name is Yeshua. If you watch the movie The Passion of the Christ, you'll see his mother comes out. She says, Yeshua, Atarayev. And she said, Jesus, are you hungry? And but she doesn't say Yahushua, it's Yeshua, okay? Which means God's salvation, okay? So, Ane Ahava Yeshua. Okay, now, here are all the questions. Let's forget about this right now, because I got erased it, but I drive past being crazy when I do this. So, okay, here are all the question marks in Hebrew, okay? So, look at all those questions. These are your questions. This is going to be on your test. You know we get tested? I hope I told you guys that. You get tested. This is a class. We already graduated a class that went through this program for 2 years and came out brilliant. Some of their finals were absolutely incredible. Okay. Me means who? Okay. Mi ata mekapes. Who are you looking for? Okay. Who are you looking for? Me is who? Efo, we learned last week, is where. Like Efo Hasharu team. Where's the bathroom? Very good thing to know. Okay. The next word is Matai. When? Matai atarutse nosale Tel Aviv. When do you want to go to Tel Aviv? Okay. Matai is when. Ma is what? Ma atarutse. Guy's standing there, he's looking at you, you got a nice dress on or whatever, girl's checking you out, you go, Ma tarotse, I'm already married, right? So it's ma is what? Ma tarotse, what do you want? Okay? Lama is why. And we heard that when Jesus Christ is on the cross. Lama, Eloi, Lama Shabbatani. Or Lama Shabbatani, which means, why have you forsaken me, okay? Lama is why. Okay, this one I added, and which is not, I don't know if we start questions, but we do start questions, like which. Like, which one do you want? Do you want this one, or do you want that one? So which is Eze? Eze Echad Atarotze. Which one do you want? Eze Echad Atarotze. Which one do you want? So Eze is which, okay? And we're, now, learn these words, because when we go back to these words, you're going to have to do them in Hebrew, okay? Now, ek is how. Why did I write home? That's just O-L-D. Ek is how, okay? So I want to say how, okay? Ek ata nosi ale Tel Aviv mechar. How are you going to go to Tel Aviv tomorrow? You want to drive or you want to catch the bus? Either one, but ech is how, okay? So, those are the questions. And I want you guys to write these down as you're in class today, because we're going to go back over these questions. And all of these words that I write are eventually going to be on your test, covering the first three Bible studies. And you've had two Bible studies. This is your third Bible study. I'm sorry, it'll cover your first, I think, four Bible studies. And then, so we'll have a test, and we'll go over the words that we went over, and we'll also go over the Bible study so that we know that you got the knowledge of why Abraham, the movie, is talking about Jesus, why Jesus is considered the 888. And then now today we're talking about this subject, because this is a great class, because not only do you get to learn the basics of the Hebrew language, and we're just getting to the root of it right now, just learning some of the words, but we're going to get into the degeshes or the yehud, which means the vowels, because you got to know, how do they do this? How do they, because I know you see a word, it's like, let's see, like you see, there we go again. Like you say, Elohim, okay? And then you say, okay, and then we got this letter, right? So we haven't even talked about the Sophic letters. Next class, we'll talk about all the Sophic letters. Some of you wrote the Sophic letters because there are six, there's five additional letters that have an ending letter, that when you spell a word like Elohim, you can't use the regular letter. You have to use the Sophic letter. So here's Elohim. Now, where's the O? We're going like, okay, we, I see the Aleph, I see the Lamed, I see the He, I see the Yod, I see the Mem. Where's the O in Elohim? There it is, Elohim. Where's the E? Well, we don't need it because we have the Yod. But if we needed an E, we would put it under here.
Someone's asking, what are Sophic letters?
Sophic letters are letters that if you have a letter that's a Sophic letter, and there's five of them in Hebrew, when you end a word, you have to end it with a Sophic letter, which means that it is an ending letter, so it can't be written regular. Like this is a mem, but you know that a mem is written like this, right? That's a mem. But you can't write a mem like that if it's the last letter of that word. Because the last letter, these five letters are dictating a prophecy. And so as God is writing the letters, he's telling you, this right here is going to end. Because what does a mem stand for? Living water, right? And it's being offered to men. But look here, it has an opening here. And that's why it's important to write the letters properly. Because I can't close the mem here, and then some people wrote it like this, and I say, oh, that's wrong. And they go, oh, they look so beautiful. No, you close the mem, and that means you close the door to the living water before the ending. So, but if it ends like this, now you see that's closed. Okay, Elohim, that's closed, because we know that at some time, the living water or grace is going to be closed to mankind, and then you're going to be in a different situation, which is judgment. So anyway, all the letters mean something. I'm going to stop doing this, driving past being crazy. But that's it, okay? Now, so we'll learn the Yehud or the Degeshes, and we'll learn all the vowels, but not today. I want you to learn how to ask a question. Who? What? When, who, where, when, what, why, which, and which is zen. Okay, let's look. Let's move on. Now, the Bible study begins. We learned about the Aleph last week. I mean, the 888. This week, our study is here. Let's look at this. Mm-hmm. That's the beginning. You see where it says 1,000? And actually, the study starts on that next page, but that's where we need to be. We're talking about God's 1,000-year day. Did you get that? God's 1,000-year day. That means what God said in Scripture, a day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years, And 1,000 years is as what? One day. Okay?
What page is that, Pastor, they're asking?
We're on page 19 if your pages are numbered, or you can look at this page right here. You see that? Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at, okay? And we're going to go through some scripture and understand this. Now, this is what we look at here on this page. Now, as we're at the top of this page, listen what it says. Oh, it says Yeshua, right. Okay, Yeshua is called the Aleph and the Tav, okay? Now, in Hebrew, Yeshua is called the Aleph and the Tav. He's not the Alpha and the Omega. He's only the Alpha and Omega because whoever was writing it down wrote it as the Aleph and the Tav. You know, when Jesus went to his apostles, they spoke in Hebrew. So he said, you know, I am the Aleph and the Tav, the Matir VeHasof. I'm the beginning and the end. And then so he says, I'm the beginning and the end. So he's the Aleph and the Tav, meaning that he's the beginning of the Hebrew alphabet and he's the ending of the Hebrew alphabet. So they translated it to Greek and the guy goes, oh, he's talking about the letters. Okay, then he's the Alpha and the Omega. Okay, we'll do that. But if you write it in English, now you got to say, oh, he's the A to the Z, you know? But so he's not the A to the Z and he's not the Alpha to the Omega. He's the Aleph to the Tav. Because those are prophecies of who he is, of what he's going to do in his life, are all written in the 22 letters that he's given you. And the five Sophic letters, I believe five. Okay? Now, I'm going to read. Okay, let me finish reading this. The letter to Aleph and Tav itself has an overtone of Res Chaim and the end of days. I already went over that. Okay. It says the idea that there are 6,000 years of Olam Hazeh, okay, of time, okay? So there are 6,000 years in time. So it says the present age before the arrival of the Messiah to set up his kingdom will be 6,000 years will pass before the Messiah comes and sets up his reign upon the earth, and then that will be a 1,000-year reign. Okay, now, in the first verse of the Bible, okay, the first verse of the Bible is, now, listen to your homework, okay? See this word? It says, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim. I want you to write that. This is your homework. Write the first verse of the Hebrew alphabet, I mean of the Hebrew scripture, which is Genesis chapter 1. I want you to write it out in Hebrew letters. Bereshit, do not write. If you write from this way to that way, we're going to write everything right to left, okay? So write, you're writing in Hebrew, I want you to write it right to left, okay? Some people sent me their letters, but they had it written this way, and I don't know why it was confusing to me, but I was like, I'm trying to read Hebrew backwards. Okay, so Bereshit, okay, in the beginning, we have a whole study on that one word that's going to blow our mind. Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning. Created out of nothing, Elohim, et. Okay? Hashamayim, the heavens, va'et, and, okay? Va'et, means because the vav is and, va'et ha'aretz. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to write that verse on the top, that verse on the top, and underneath it, I want you to write your Hebrew alphabets once again, because you have to get that second 100 for all of the people that got one, okay? And they have to be perfect, so look at the samples that I sent you, okay? Now, here we go. Okay. Elohim, Elohim. Okay. 6 days of creation, okay? 6 days of creation. And then what did God do on the seventh day? He rested, Shabbat, okay? So now, I want us to go to a verse here. And it's in the book of Revelation. And I'm going to hope that I get it right the first time. I believe it's in the book of Revelation. And I believe it is verse. No, I can't find the verse now. But the verse says that the spirit of prophecy, because Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy, okay? So the word, which is Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. That means that when God began to write the word, he started prophesying. Okay? Understand that. So as soon as I say Bereshit, that means since the spirit of the word of God is prophecy, I just prophesied to you. What did I just prophesy? I just prophesied to you the whole gospel when I said Bereshit, but we're not ready to learn that right now. Okay? But when I say Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz, in that verse is going to be a prophecy, because prophecy tells you the end in the beginning, okay? So, in that verse, if you look at the red circles that are put around all the olives, are six red circles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You got it? Okay. Now, those six olives mean thousand, because this is how we write the word thousand. Okay? This is how you write the word thousand. Okay, so Aleph, that means thousand. So if you say 2,000 Alephim, okay, you say 2,000. Shalosh Alephim, 3,000. Arbe Alephim, we haven't gotten to the numbers, but we are going to. Okay, but I'm saying Aleph is the name for thousand. Now, Aleph is also the name of the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And since Hebrew letters are numbers, if that's a one, for me to write a one in Hebrew, I would have to go, that's a one. Can you see that? So, for God, one Aleph is thousand Aleph. So God is letting you know from the very beginning, one day is going to be 1,000 years to me. Okay, and it's important that you understand this, because as the Bible continues to prophesy to you concerning the 6,000-year plan, then the 7,000 with his rest, then you will know that a new thing after the 7,000 has to happen, which is a new beginning, which is the 8th, right? Okay, so now we're here. Okay, in your book, this is what it reads. It says, in the book of Revelation, the Lord has done, the Lord does the same thing as he talks about Jesus' reign on the earth as king for 1,000 years. In Psalms chapter 90, verse 4, this is what it says. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it passed, and a watch in the night. So the psalmist is saying to God, 1,000 years is the same as a day that just passed to you. Who's writing the scripture? The Holy Spirit. God's writing it. He wants you to know him, okay? That's why he's writing it like that. He's letting you know this 1,000 years is a day. Now, go to the next page, this page right here. Okay? And let's read, okay? Now, I always say that because I did a 6,000 year count, and it ended at 21:7. And what we're reading now is verse 21 through 7. And I'm still waiting to see what Yeshua is going to do in 2018. Because when I get to heaven, we got to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And he's going to say, I already know your questions, Andy. Okay, here it is. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. And it says here, I saw an angel come down from heaven, okay, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. I always ask the question, why is God binding Satan up for 1,000 years? And we understand that because at the end of the 6,000 years is God's Sabbath. So we can't have Satan running around. So God binds him up for 1,000 years. Okay? And he's locked away. Now, I love Chuck Missler's thing because he says, if we're already in the tribulation, then Satan's chain is too long. Because he's supposed to be locked up in Hades for 1,000 years and locked up in chains. Okay, now it says, and it cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after he must be loosed for a season. So he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years, and then he's going to be loosed. That means that God locked him up before he was done with him. So that means it's his day off. He's not going to continue working on his day off. He's like, I'm done. It's my day off. Lock Satan up for 1,000 years. We'll let him out when my Sabbath is over, okay? And it says, I saw thrones that were seated. Them that were seated upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness for Jesus Christ and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So there it's saying that everyone that lives during the tribulation that does not take the mark and does not worship the beast, he says they will come back to life and they will live with Christ for 1,000 years. So there's some people that during the tribulation, if they keep their testimony of Jesus Christ and die that way, even if they were beheaded, it says they will be resurrected and come back and live with Christ, okay? And it says, blessed and holy is he that... Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to read this. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Okay, who are the rest of the dead? These are the dead that died believing in Christ. Who are the rest of the dead? Those that died not believing in Christ. It says, so for 1,000 years, they don't come back alive. Because remember, when we read Enoch, it said that everybody has to be resurrected. So it's in agreement with the word of God, okay? Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection of everyone who receives life, okay? We'll talk about resurrection in another study. And it says, on such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So we know that we go to heaven. The church goes to heaven. We're in the kingdom of God. I spoke on it last night. The Lord said, once we get there, it'll be like a honeymoon, the bride and the king, right? And that 7 years will go fast. And then guess what it has to happen? Zechariah 14 says, when Yeshua returns, he's returning with who? with all of his holy ones with him. So when we come back, we're coming back with Yeshua. He will be riding on a white horse, and we will be behind him riding on white horses. And Christ will come back, and he will consume the enemies, and he'll set up his thousand-year millennium. Okay? Now, let's continue. Okay. So it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. That's verse 7. Okay? So Satan is going to be loosed after the end of the 1,000 years. Okay. Now you have all this teaching down here concerning 1947, 1967, the 100-year quote prophecy and all of this stuff. But like I said, we got a lot to talk about when we get to heaven. It says, I am getting ahead of myself, so here we go. 1948, let's go, let's all go to Exodus chapter 12. How long does God have to wait to kill a lamb? So let's go to Exodus chapter 12. You have to go to your Bible now. Now, listen, you guys. This is a mystery, but it confirms something that God has already told us. And what has God told us? That a day to him is like 1,000 years. So listen to this rule that he gives to the Jewish people. He tells Moses, first of all, he says to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people that there are. And it says, okay, so let's go down to verse 6. He says, take care of them. Who? The lambs. So they're going to pick the lamb on the 10th. And he says, take care of them until the 4th day. Okay, until the 14th. So they pick the lamb on the 10th, and he says, take care of the lamb until the 14th of the month. When all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the side and the top of the door frame of the house where they eat the lamb. Okay? So now he's telling them, you pick the lamb on the 10th. Can they kill the lamb on the 11th? They would be in disobedience, right? Because that's not God's structure. Because what is Jesus? He is prophecy. The word of God is prophecy. Okay? So since God is telling you here, the lamb can't be killed until the 4th day, God himself is showing you, because I'm following the same pattern, okay? So now God is following the pattern that now, from the beginning of time, the New Testament said Jesus was chosen before the foundation of the earth. So when he said, let there be, okay, God had already chosen a lamb, okay? So why didn't God say right after Adam and Eve sinned, we need the lamb, send him right now. Because that would have been out of structure. God has to wait 4 days or 4,000 years before he can kill his lamb. Okay? He has to wait 4 days. So now, Jesus is born into the world. It's during the 4,000th year of mankind. Okay, if you have the 6,000 year count, you'll know exactly when he was born. But Until he turned 17, Jesus Christ was not eligible to be a lamb. But once he turned 17, it was the 4,000th year. So therefore, Jesus was eligible now to be a lamb for the sacrifice of sin. But God couldn't have crucified him after the first 1,000 years of mankind, right after they sinned. He couldn't have crucified him on the second 1,000th year. You know, I mean, instead of the flood, why don't we just crucify the lamb and then forgive everyone for their sins? No, you can't kill your lamb on the third day. You have to wait till the fourth day before you kill your lamb. What he's telling them is a prophecy of how God is going to operate in the world. So, a rabbi, very smart rabbi, said, because they have what they call a baptism, what we call a baptism, and they said it was in the 3,000th year or the 3,000th year that God had to baptize the world. And he said, Sandy, it's pashut, it's simple. Why do you think he had to baptize the world? And I said, what do you mean he baptized the world? He said, what is a baptism?
The flood.
He said, it was submerged in water. I was like, oh, okay. He said, why did God do it that way? Why didn't he just burn it? And he said, because he wanted it to be an example of the baptism that we're going to have. When we go down, it's not our complete destruction. We come up out of the water, and now comes a new beginning of life, which how many were survived? 8.
Ooh, new beginning.
A new beginning. So now 8 come up and there's a new beginning because the world has just been baptized and now it's coming up and it has 8 survivors and now here's a new beginning. We're going to do something new, new life. So God was prophesying to you when he submerged the world underwater. You understand? The word of God is prophecy, okay? The root of the word of God is always prophesying about a future thing. Okay? So now, the fourth day comes, and they crucify the Lamb, and Jesus Christ, in the 4,000th year, just the way this Lamb, Jesus Christ dies at twilight. Listen what it says. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. So at the evening, when Christ said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, why have you forsaken me? It was at twilight when he said this. He died on the cross at twilight. Okay? So, this is one way that God proves to you that he waited 4,000 years for the crucifixion, because it was in line with the fact that an aleph is an aleph, okay? 1,000 is a 1, okay? So that you understand that we're not, so, you know, because I was in my backyard one day and I found a rock and my son said, Dad, that's a weird looking rock. And I said, yeah, I think it's 4 billion years old. And he said, how do you know? I said, I don't know. I just thought it would sound good if I said it, right? So that's what the scientists do today, right? They find a bone and they say, it's 2 billion years old. And we just believe it because we don't believe the Bible that God says, no, the earth has only been in existence for 6,000 years, okay? So we got to believe God or believe the scientists. And anyway, if you want to argue that point, please talk to a scientist. But to me, I believe the Bible, and God has counted the days from his creation to the 6,000th year, so I know that we are about to be on God's Sabbath day, and for all of us to start enjoying the 1,000-year millennium after the rapture, okay? Now, let's see, what is the other 1,000-year example that we have in here? Oh, this is another thing. I'm going to show you the 1,000. Okay, watch this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5.
Some are saying the flood was a punishment for the wicked.
Yeah, it was a punishment, but he had to baptize. It was also a typology because he had to baptize. When there's sin, then there's a need for baptism. Okay? And no, and you know he didn't sprinkle the world. So if you're Catholic, you tell them, you can't sprinkle me. The Bible clearly teaches that a submersion is what you need for a baptism. Jesus did not say, oh, sprinkle me, John. You know, he went down into the water, he came out, and then the Holy Spirit appeared as a dove. You understand? So the submersion is very, very important. But here we have in Genesis chapter 5. And then now I want to ask you guys a question. Because is it impossible for God to lie? Everybody say yes. Okay. Adam and Eve are created. They're placed into the garden, okay? And Adam and Eve sinned. The direction from God was this. If you sin, that day you will die. In the day that you sin, mutim, you will surely die. Okay? Because remember he says the word twice in Hebrew. He said, mutim, you're going to surely die in the day that you eat. Okay. So now, let's read this. So that Adam and Eve sinned. And once they sinned, here we go. Here we go in chapter 5. Because Adam and Eve sinned, but listen to this. Where is this at? Okay. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the days that God created man, in the likeness of God, God made he him. Male and female created he them, blessed them, and called their names Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And Adam's days and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth was 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days Adam lived 930 years. But he sinned 930 years ago on a day. So why didn't God kill him on the day that he sinned? So what are we looking at? Some of you already got it. What are we looking at? 930 years he lives. You see that? So, did he die on a day? How many days is one day to God? 1,000 years is one day to God. So did Adam die on the first day? Everybody say yes. Okay, so that means Adam did die on the first day. Not a man day, a God day. Okay? So now, how many days, years did Adam leave us to make a generation for man?
70.
Plus 70 would have been the 1,000 years, but Adam died 70 years short of 1,000 years. So now when we go to the book of Psalms, I think it's 10. Let's go to Psalms. Is it chapter 10? Yeah. Or is it Psalms 90? Yeah, Psalms 90. I'm getting old, you guys. Azurli Bavakasha, help me please. Okay. So now we're in Psalms chapter 90. And then we're in verse 10. And it says, the length of our days is 70 years. Okay? Then it says, or 80 if you have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow. For they quickly pass away, and we fly away. Okay, but from the beginning, before you get into the or 80, he says, the length of our days is 70 years. Okay, so now when Jesus says this, When Jesus says, this generation, this shall come upon this generation, this temple shall be destroyed and every stone thrown over. When does it happen? 70 AD. So Jesus tells you what a generation is, right? Where does he get that 70 years from? It goes all the way back to when Adam left us. He only left us 70. Okay? So now you get to the point where Jesus says, okay, from the time of the rebirth of the fig tree, you have, it says, this generation will see this. Two will be in one place, one in the other, one will be taken and the other one left. So Jesus tells you, when Israel is rebirthed, that last 70 years that Adam left us, he said, then you're going to see this, one is taken, the other one left. So we're really on Jesus' clock right now, which I love it, because it's 1948 and it's May 14th. But so we got this 70 years, we have this 70 years that complete the 1,000 years of Adam's day, and we're in that last 70 years. Let's see here. Was there something else I wanted to teach you before we are done with this? Can you think of anything, Pastor Ben?
Can't think of a thing.
Okay. So now, oh, you guys, I had to go over the 1,000 years with you because next week we're going to start learning the feast days, the Mohadims, okay?
20 times.
And we're going to be on the Mohadims for quite a while, okay? Because we have several Mohadims that are God's Mohadims, okay? That means they belong to God before he loaned them to Israel, okay? In the book of Jubilee, one of the angels said they celebrated the Shabbat in heaven long before God created earth and he gave it to the Jews, right? So, and it's confirming the thought of scripture, which God says, these are my Mohadims. These are my holidays. These are my appointed times, okay? So we're going to have to talk about the appointed times. And the first appointed time is, why would God tell the Jews that they can't work on the Sabbath? Why would he give that day to them to say, do not work on the Sabbath? Why would he do that? Remember what we just read. What did we read? The word of God is prophecy. So since the 1,000 years is a rest day, yeah, it had to do with God created the world in 6 days and on the seventh day he rests. That was also a prophecy of a coming 1,000 years of a coming Sabbath when the Lord will rest for 1,000 years during the millennium, okay? But we have to understand this. The 1,000 years is a prophecy. The Sabbath is a prophecy. Even if the Passover has been fulfilled, even if Pentecost has been fulfilled, even if first fruits has been fulfilled, the Sabbath will not be fulfilled until we're living in the millennium. Once we're living in the millennium, then the prophecy of the Sabbath will have been fulfilled. But we're waiting to the 1,000-year millennium before we can fulfill that prophecy. That's why God said, I'm going to create the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, I'm going to rest. I'm prophesying to the world what I'm going to do. Then on the eighth day, after he rested, he created this brand new man named Adam and put him in the garden. Now that is so Hebraic that unless you know the Mohadims and the structure of the Torah of 8 days, it will miss you completely, okay? Because I'm going to read one scripture, and then we're going to finish for today, and it's from Leviticus chapter 23. This is one thing that I love hanging out with rabbis, because they tell you stuff, and it's incredible things that they tell you, and they don't know they're talking about Yeshua. You know what I mean? So they said, So I'm talking to Rabbi Itzhak, Bruce Itzhak, Itzhak Bruf, is that Isaac Bruf? Well, anyway, I'm talking to him. And I said, so you're going to celebrate Tabernacles this week? He goes, yes. It's a seventh-day festival, Sandy. He said, we're going to just enjoy ourselves for 7 days. And I said, well, wow. He said, but that's nothing.
The eighth day.
He said, the most important day is the eighth day. That's when the real party breaks out. And he said, you've never been to a Shmini Atzeret's party. You've never been to a party. So I'm like, what is Shmini Atzeret's? He said, it's the eighth day. Why is the eighth day so important? So in Leviticus, watch what it says here. Let me make sure that Leviticus chapter 23, blah, 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 blah. We go to 23. Tabernacles. Oh, here it is, right here. Now watch this. Watch this, what it says. It's Tabernacles. It says, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the month is the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles, begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is to be a secret assembly, no regular work. For 7 days, present offerings made to the Lord by fire. And on the eighth day, hold a secret assembly and present an offering made to the Lord. It is the closing assembly. Do no regular work. So God says that the eighth day is a secret assembly. It's a holy day. How can the eighth day be a holy day? This is what we're going to find out in the Mohanims, okay? Because to God, the eighth day is what we're really stretching for. Because the thousand-year millennium is the rest, but then the eighth day is the new beginning. Because we're going to get rid of the sun and the moon on the eighth day. After 8,000th year, God's going to get rid of the sun. He's going to get rid of the moon. He said, we're not going to count anymore. There'll be no such thing as 2 o'clock in the morning or the 9,000th year. We'll be in eternity. You understand? There'll be no more clocks. God will be our light, and he will dwell with us. So we're going to get into the Mohadims next week. And now I want you to go back over your words. I want you to know, make sure that you have written these down. Who, where, when, what, why, Isaiah, which, okay, et, how, okay? So we know how to begin a sentence if we have a question. And then it all blows away when you ask how much something costs. When you say, come see, okay? You don't even say, et. Come and see, old lady. They should have said, come and see, old lady. But it's really, how much does it cost? All right. So everyone out there, what are we doing first? You are going to write in the top left, in the top part of your page, Bereshit, Bara, Elohim, Et Hashamayim, Va'et Ha'aretz. You're going to write that, okay? Under that, you're going to put your 22 letters. Do not write your letters. Listen, where is...
You're not going to frame any of them?
Huh?
You're not going to frame any of them?
I'm not going to do... Less I'm not going to frame none of them. Let me see. I'm looking for something because I had it in my wallet. Okay. Now watch this, okay? Watch this. Where's my ink pen? Here we go. Someone sent me back their letters. And this is what they wrote. Sorry, Pastor Ben.
Okay.
All right. This is what they wrote. They wrote, Aleph, Bet, Delet, Gimel, Delet. Okay. So, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Delet. What is that? Have you seen those before? That's what we call in cursive. So this is their script. Now, once you get out of elementary school, this is how they start writing. They start writing in this cursive script, okay? You're not in the third grade yet. We just started the class. So nobody...
Stop showing out.
Yeah, stop showing out. We know you're gifted.
Yeah.
Do do not write the script letters. These are for high school students and everything. What I need you to do right now is to go, Aleph. Sorry about that, Pastor. I need you to go, Aleph. Bet.
Sherry said, oopsie.
Gimel. Dalet, okay? Do not write cursive, okay? By third grade, we learn, start doing cursive, yeah. Right? So we got a long time before we get to cursive. Right now, we just want to learn the print letter. Because when you go to Israel, you may see this, but most of the time, you're going to see this because they want to make the letters plain for everyone to see, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so are you guys ready to close out? Are there any questions? If someone has a question, I will give you 3 minutes to ask your question.
Dick said no.
No. Great job on the letters, you guys. You are way ahead of what I was when I first started. It was so frustrating for me. I just wanted to stop after the first two times I wrote them. I was like, I am not an artist. I can't do this. It's like writing Japanese for me, okay? So are we ready? Let's pray out. And here's the prayer. May God bless, and God said to Moses, bless my people. When you bless my people, say these words.
Someone asked if you would say the prayer slowly.
Okay, I'm gonna say it slowly. Okay, Yivarekaka. Adonai Veishmareka. I'm going to send you guys this prayer, okay? So you can learn this as well. But learn the Lord's Prayer first. Yivarekaka Adonai Veishmareka. Ya'er Adonai Panavilecha. Yi'aseh Adonai Panavilecha Ve'yasim Lecha Shalom. And the prayer is, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance.